This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good morning. I'm Alice Jovich from Arlington, Texas.
And I'm Annette Griffin from Wills Point, Texas, subbing for Glenn the Greek.
You are listening to a special trail riding episode of Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, episode 1383, brought to you by Riding Warehouse and Waves Gear. Good morning, Horse World.
Thursday. Good morning. I'm so happy it's Thursday.
Just an ordinary day.
If you love to ride horses, but you'd rather ride on a trail than in an arena, I think I know a sport just for you.
We're out. We're getting to the first mark. We're a little ahead of time.
Expect nothing less than full-blown chaos.
Well, hello, everybody. How are you guys today?
I'm good. Hey, how are you?
I'm good. So Glenn isn't here today. He is doing Road to the Horse, which I think is at the Kentucky Horse Park. I'm not positive about
That's
that.
That's right. Kentucky Horse Park.
Kentucky Horse Park. Good. So he asked me to find someone that was chatty and into the NATRC to join me on the show today. So I asked my friend Annette. And we never have anything to talk about, so I thought this would be a very interesting or uninteresting hour of radio. So we never have anything to say to each other.
I was going to say, never talk. Oh, no. But I do have something to tell you. This morning, okay, you know, yesterday I went to get Tally and bring her home.
Yeah.
And so I was pulling the trailer
refresh
behind.
Refresh everyone's memory who Tally is.
Tally is my spotted draft that I do competitive trail on. She's 17-1, big girl. But I was bringing her home, and I was in the little trailer. Well, I got home, and it was kind of late, so I didn't park it and clean it out like I normally do. Well, this morning I did that, and I went to put it up while, you know, we were waiting to get the show started. And I guess it's a good thing that our ride is canceled because the shock just broke.
Oh, my gosh.
On the wheel. Yeah. So it was like, great. So now I get to go and fix it.
So the shock, you're talking about the, like,
yeah,
the suspension?
The spring, maybe?
The spring?
The spring. Well, yeah, but the way that this one is designed, you know how trailers have like those leaf springs.
This
trailer doesn't have that. It has individual type shock thing majiggies on each axle, and right when I went to back up, it goes boom and it broke off.
Wow, you would have been down to no trailer.
I know.
Annette has like the most awesome living quarters trailer, but she's had a tragedy with her living quarters trailer. She calls it Moby. So tell us what happened to Moby. It's a very sad story.
I know. Poor Moby. Well, anyway, Moby got his name because the first time I was pulling him behind my one-ton named Tom Dooley, we were going around a corner, and I look up, and it looks like this gigantic white whale is about to eat us, and so that's how Moby got his name. But Moby was sitting at the house minding his own business. He was not doing anything wrong. And my trash company that does the dumpster out here at the farm ramrodded him and hurt him. And I didn't think it hurt him very bad, but it actually hurt him pretty bad. And so Moby is laying in traction right now, not doing anything. So
somebody's living in him right
Moby.
Now.
Yeah, I got some friends that have transferred into Dallas for a job. And so since they're in transition, Moby is now an apartment. So he's doing double duty. That's all good.
Well, and speaking of trailers, other traumatic things can happen inside of trailers. And Glenn said he wouldn't tease me about this, but I told him I would go ahead and I told him I would tell the tale because it might be a cautionary tale for other people.
We've had
a bunch of rain in Texas, and last week it was going to get ready to rain, and so I had left my feed in the trailer, and I went in the trailer to get a bucket of feed, and went in like I always do, and when I came back to the back door, it was shut. It had swung shut on me, and it was closed. And I live on 80 acres. There's one other house that's a rental, but nobody was home. And I didn't have my phone because I was still in my PJs. You know, I just went out to feed the horses. I didn't need my phone. And it doesn't work at the barn anyway. And so there was like 8:15 in the morning, and I remember thinking, well, maybe there's some snacks in here. Nope. Maggie had cleaned out all the snacks. She had cleaned out the snacks. She had dumped out all the water. There was no food, no water. And I had just finished watching an episode of The Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where one of the characters was quoting that you can go 100 hours without water. And so I was going, okay, well, it's 8:15 on Thursday. When's 100 hours up? And I was like, oh, no, somebody will come by then. You know, Teresa will miss me. Somebody will miss me. And then I had this panic attack. It's like, nobody's going to miss me. And then I was like, boy, I'm glad this isn't next Thursday because I would have totally missed the show and nobody would have known where I was. And so I decided to clean up the trailer. But like I said, Maggie had pretty much taken care of that. And so then I decided to assemble her hammock to have someplace to lay or sit. But I couldn't get it fixed, and I kept rolling off of it because it wouldn't stay stable. And so I finally got the horse blanket, and I had a seat cover because I was cold. I was in my PJs and little slip-on shoes, and I covered up in the horse blanket, and then the seat cover went over my head, and I just laid on a bale of hay until I heard the dog start to bark, and then I started hollering, and my neighbor had come home, and he heard me even over the wind and came down and let me out. It was like 4 hours later.
See, so, If you, as much weight as you're losing, you could have, you know, in another week or two, probably slithered through the flats.
I thought about that, but there was no way to do that yet. It was like, it was too, and I tried to like throw I threw my high line with all the hardware, like at the latch, thinking maybe I could catch the latch, but I was at the wrong angle. Even if I'd caught the latch, it would have been more sideways than over the top.
See, so, it only works on TV.
Yes.
I try that kind of crap all the time.
I needed MacGyver at that
moment. Yeah.
So,
no MacGyver.
No MacGyver. So,
anyway, Alice, but see, that gave you time. You could have had time to reflect on your life.
I did.
And sing, you know, campfire songs and kumbaya and just kind of become one with yourself.
Well, I did all that. I reflected. I prayed. I cried.
Okay, yeah. And that did 5 minutes, and then what did you do the rest of the time? How long were you actually there?
I was actually there for 4 hours. So, 4 hours. It's like, my biggest thing was I had so much to do, and I really wished I'd had something to do.
Yeah.
So. So
what would your plan have been had the neighbor not come when he did?
I would have just had to have waited until either Maggie came to visit or Teresa realized I was missing. My client that I missed did call the office, but they were like, no, we haven't heard from her, but nobody was actually missing me yet. And when I called her, when I got out of the trailer, she was so funny. She tried so hard not to laugh, and she was just like, Maggie didn't try not to laugh. She humiliated me all over Facebook. So
I know. It was hilarious. It was great.
It wasn't funny a week ago, but so then I decided that God was telling me I just needed to stay home. So I stayed home last Thursday, and I enjoyed the rainy day, and I crocheted a little bit, and I caught up on the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, because that whole information about the 100 hours of water was really useful.
Yeah. So, you know, you can always glean some kind of wonderful information from your shows that you watch.
There you go. Yeah. So we were supposed to go to a competition this weekend, but
yes,
now
we
it's
were.
Off because of yeah. traumatic rain.
And, you know, I was, yesterday when I was coming back in from Waco, I was thinking, you know, it's not so bad. It wouldn't be so bad for if they had not canceled it for us that are up on the north side of Texas and Oklahoma and blah, blah, blah. But for people that are down, you know, south, because all over I-35, you know, where they have those marquees with the digital, you know, where they put all of the lane closures and things like that, they were broadcasting that I-10 is closed at the Louisiana border and that they were rerouting everyone from I-10, which is down by Houston, all the way up I-35 or I-45 to I-20, which is in Dallas, to go to Louisiana. So that's, you know, that was going to add another 5-6 hours for travel time for people that were in this, you know, in the southern region of Texas. So I'm kind of glad that they went ahead and canceled it. And then another friend of ours brought up a good point about the bridges there.
Right.
So I think it was a good call. I think it was a really good call.
I just wished I hadn't already gotten my health certificate.
Yeah, that's one of those things.
It happens. Last year with Indian Territory, so.
Oh, really?
It's bound to happen. Yeah, because they canceled it twice, and I had health certificates twice.
So you had a healthy horse.
I had a very healthy horse, yeah.
It's very healthy horse.
So.
Yeah. What?
Oh, no, I was going to say, I have a list here of some things later in the show. We're going to have Bree Rosario from Riding Warehouse on to talk about some of the spring fashions and some of the stuff I didn't even know about. I was really, really excited to talk to her because she was telling me all about the clothes that are coming out for the spring and all the fun colors.
Cool.
But we also talked a lot because we had to pre-record because it's too early for Bree in California. So that'll be a recorded interview. But we talked about helmets and when you need to replace your helmet and just, you know, and like one of the things we talked about was why would anyone not wear a helmet? And so I have a list here, if my computer will bring it up, of reasons not to wear a helmet. There's 11 reasons not to wear a helmet. And we'll talk about something else because my article isn't coming up. Technical difficulties on the article. Let's go to Teresa. Let's talk to Teresa.
Is Teresa here?
Yes, our first guest is Teresa Musgrave. She competes on Pasofino horses in NATRC. And Teresa, are you there?
Yes. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Teresa.
Good morning, Annette.
How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are y'all doing this morning?
All right. Good. Not too early, I hope. I know, morning and all that. So I'm curious. I know you grew up here at your ranch. Your parent, tell us a little bit about that. Your parents ran a summer camp here, so you grew up with horses. Talk to me a little bit about how that went and like what kind of horses you all rode.
Well, we had Appaloosas. My father bought a stallion and some mares, and we raised our own and trained them out, and they were our kid ponies that we used out here for the camp. And you know, back when we had the camp, we had about 30 horses that we could ride. We usually ride about 15 at a time, but that way we could cycle them through because we rode every day. And I grew up with all these horses to ride and babies to raise up and train. So I never had any kind of formal training on horses or anything, but it was all kind of self-taught on the job type thing. Loved the Appaloosas. I know they've got a reputation with some people, but I thoroughly loved them. I had a leopard Appaloosa that was mine. I had him from a baby until he died at the age of 31, and still have a picture of him in one of the buildings down there at the ranch.
I've seen that picture.
He's a very striking horse.
Yes, I've seen that picture.
Yep. A lot of people see him, they don't really know who that is. Well, that's my horse Mercury. I raised. He was born the year that I took Driver's Ed. I still remember that.
That's funny. When I was a kid, my first pretend horse was named Mercury.
Really?
Yeah, when I used to pretend I was riding.
The Appaloosas that we had, they were nice and calm and, you know, made great kid ponies for us. But then as I got older, I had kids and they weren't really interested in horses, so the horses kind of, and my parents closed down the camp, so they sold all of theirs. And they just kind of took a back seat for me. And then when I got interested in horses again, I decided to head into the gated world and took up Pasofino's.
What made you choose the Pasofino versus some of the other ones?
You know, I'm trying to remember exactly where I even first heard about the Pasofinos, but I know I had been kind of looking at different breeds, and somehow or another I got in touch with someone local here that had some Pasofinos, and I went on a ride on a Pasofino, and I was going, this is my horse. And I would have bought that horse, but they wouldn't sell him.
Was that one of Karen's
horses? If they
would have
sold that horse, I would have bought him in a heartbeat.
Was that one of Karen's horses?
No, it wasn't one of Karen's. Oh, okay. It was people lived, I think, over around Morgan Mill.
Okay.
But after that, I was sold. It was the ride.
Well,
it was totally the ride.
They are. They're just so dang cute.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My second favorite horse is Teresa's horse, Cayenne, that she lets me ride sometimes.
Yes.
And my horse, Liberty, is half Pasofino, so he doesn't gait, though. Cayenne's such a Cadillac because he just glides along. Do you find any cons to riding a Pasofino over another gated breed? I mean, what are some of the pros and cons, like compared to like a Tennessee Walker or a Fox Trotter or some of the other gated breeds?
To me, the Pasofino is the smoothest. It really is. Probably the only con I would have at all is that for a lot of people, when they first get on a Paso and the Paso takes off, it feels like the Paso's trying to run away with them, I think, because their movement is so quick. A lot of the other gated breeds have long reach, and you have kind of a long back and forth movement on the other breeds, which to me is not as smooth of a ride, but it's also a little bit more calming for the person to ride on. When you're on the Pasofinos, their feet are moving so fast, and usually their heads are up and arched, and people assume that the horse is getting out of control. But that's just the way that they go in their gait. And if you just go along with it, most Pasofinos are extremely sensitive to their rider, and you can just almost just think about where you want them to go, and they go right that direction. Definitely, you know, turn your head and look, and they'll feel you that little bit of change in your seat, and they will do whatever it is that you're asking them to do.
So would you consider a Pasofino to be more of an experienced rider's horse?
Most of them, I would say yes. And you know, it's just that if you're not pretty confident, you're not going to feel comfortable on a Pasofino. You have to be fairly confident that the horse is going to follow your instructions, and trust yourself.
Yeah.
Well, I know I felt that way the first time I ever rode one. And my own horse wasn't that well behaved at my first horse I did competition with. She wasn't that good, but I got on our friend Karen's Pasofino, and his walk was so quick that I thought I was going to die. I just was like, oh my gosh, he's moving so fast.
Okay, so when you say it's quick, try to give me some kind of reference, because I mean, I've ridden alongside Liberty, who is your half Paso, and I've ridden alongside Cayenne, but what is kind of a miles per hour reference then when you're saying they walk so fast? Can you do that?
I mean, I've put a GPS on Cayenne, and when he's doing his fastest Largo that's comfortable, he's about 8.5 to 9 miles an hour.
And Largo is what?
It's
talk to me.
Yeah.
Because I'm non-gated.
Teresa will have to explain that.
Well, the Paso really has two gates. They've got the Corto, which is the slower of the two, and the legs are... there's not as long of a stride. The legs are moving quickly, but the stride is not so long, so it doesn't cover as much territory. the Largo has the legs moving at almost the same speed or same rate, but there's more extension, and so you cover ground more quickly. The Largo is usually about the same speed as a canter, and the Corto is about the same speed as a trot.
Okay. All right. So, okay, in my mind, when I think of Pasofino, and granted, Liberty and Cayenne are helping to change that, but every time I would ever think about Pasofino, I think about, you know, tap dancing, just, and not, you know, like going 90 to nothing, but not going anywhere, which I know is not true, but that's kind of the mind, you know, what I had in my mind.
Well,
so
I think what you're thinking about there is the Pasofinos that are bred more for show.
Probably.
Mm-hmm. In fact, I'm going to be helping with a Pasofino show in Conroe in mm-hmm. April, and love to have everybody that can come to see it. It's going to be April 23rd and 24th, I think. But the Pasofinos, you know, they have the Corto and the Largo that we were talking about. They also uh-huh. have a gait called the Pasofino, which is the fine step. Not all Pasos do a Pasofino. That is the one where it looks like they're tap dancing. They
yep.
are just moving, but they're not going anywhere. I mean, you put them in the arena, and you've got these horses that are doing the Pasofino around the arena. It takes them 10 minutes to get all the way around the arena.
And see, and that is what, whenever someone would say that they were going to compete, you know, in a CTR on a Pasofino, I'm like, well, my gosh, they're still going to be going tomorrow trying to get back to the camp because they're not going to go anywhere. So,
right.
you know, it's a myth, but, you know, like most of us, you know, people that don't do a lot of trail riding, whenever you talk about your horses immediately, you know, people think, oh, you barrel race or you do something rodeo. That's kind of the mentality that I had about the Pasofino, is that it tap dances, it looks so cute, but it doesn't go anywhere. So, you know, I really enjoy watching Liberty and watching Cayenne and some of these others that ride the Paso to see how fluidly they can move and, you know, and move out quickly. So but it is kind of a you know, a myth. Y'all are a myth buster. That's what y'all are.
There we go. Well, I say, in Liberty, you know, he's not gated, but all of his he walks trots and canters, but all of his gates are so comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And occasionally, in between his trot and his canter, he'll get a little overcollected or a little enthusiastic, and he'll do something that's not a trot or a canter. But, you know, but it's very, you know, he's very comfortable, but he doesn't gate. And I've gotten really spoiled from riding Cayenne. It's like, I get on Cayenne and I just like, I like this. It's awesome. Talk about, Teresa, one thing, though, I know people think, and Jen mentioned it to me a minute ago, was that they're so little. And it's like, I don't think that they're all that little. What are your size ranges for a Pasofino usually?
They usually range from about 13 hands up to 15 hands. In fact, Alice, you know, one of my horses, Prince, he's a large Pasofino, but he's plenty large and stout to handle anybody.
Yeah.
They usually are fairly stocky, but not always. But the height is from 13 to 15 hands, which for me, I'm 5'2". I like that.
Yes.
They're able to handle riders of almost any size. I mean, they're very, very strong horses for their size.
Yeah,
really.
When I get on Cayenne, he takes up more of my leg than Liberty. He's a hand smaller, but when I'm on him, I actually feel more secure. I think that's why some of his antics, when he was, you know, having his little phase of misbehavior, didn't bother me any, because I just felt really solid on him. Whereas if Liberty had pulled some of the same stunts, it would have been much harder to sit.
Right. Right. And I agree. I like the size of plan when you're sitting there, because you feel like you've got some security on that horse.
Mm-hmm. Now, do they fill out a little bit later than some of the other breeds? Because I remember seeing Cayenne and thinking how slender he was, and then I saw him a few months ago, and I'm like, boom, he was like manly horse. So, but the transition between young looking Cayenne, mature Cayenne versus Cayenne now is totally different. I mean, completely. So, do they mature later?
I would say that they do, yes. I took Cayenne on a trail ride when he was 4 years old. Uh-huh. And he had his height pretty much, but he hadn't filled out, and he was really thin. And I remember some people there on their big old quarter horses were asking me, how old was that little baby that I was riding? because he just looked so tiny. And probably when he was 5 years old is when he started filling out.
Mm-hmm.
That's also what his mother did. I've watched several Possils develop, mine and other people's. And they start off, fairly slender. And then sometime around 5 years old, between 4 and 5, they fill out. And they usually have a little bit of an attitude change. They actually get a little bit more brio. I think they get more confidence. So they get a little bit more weight on them. They get more confidence. And that's one thing I would suggest, that anybody that is looking at buying a Possilfino, I would wait until they're 5 or 6 years old to buy one if I was not real familiar with the breed. Because sometimes they can have a little bit more of the brio, more of the, be a little bit more difficult to handle after they get that age on them for some reason.
Not so sure why, but then by waiting, you know exactly what you're getting. Is that what you're saying?
Exactly. That's the point. You know, the horse is pretty well set. I mean, I remember when Cayenne was 4 years old and I was riding him. I mean, anything I want, he just wanted to please. Anything I wanted. And now sometimes he has a little bit of his own idea about what we should do. And we may have to discuss it a little bit.
Except in the mornings, he knows exactly what he wants, which is to come on my porch and have me feed him carrots.
Carrots for you?
Huh?
Ian eats carrots for you?
Okay, well, no, not really carrots exactly, but treats. I just said carrots.
Treats, yes. She said never carrots. Could get that horse to eat carrots or apples.
No, well, because Cass eats anything, and he and Cass come up together. And so they just are begging because they know where the food comes from.
So, in the house.
In the kitchen, that's right. Well, Teresa, thank you so much for coming on. Tell us again where and when the show's going to be.
The show is going to be at the Lone Star Arena in Conroe, Texas. And it is going to be April, I'll make sure I get the dates right here, April 23rd and 24th. And we will be having classes all day. And also on the 23rd, we're going to be having a dinner and dance that night. So that'll be fun.
Oh, cool.
All Colombian.
Oh, and you're doing, is it Friday afternoon you guys are doing tell us about the play day, the fun events you have for the Possilfinos. You said you had something planned that runs concurrent with the more serious show in the outside arena.
Well, we were hoping to do something like that on Saturday. We're not sure. We're trying to get some response. Would love to do some play day events and maybe some horse soccer on Saturday morning, but haven't had as much response as we would like on that. So all I can say for sure that we're going to have is the show classes.
So if people are interested in the play day stuff with their Possilfinos, they need to contact you so that
they
you
do.
Can, and some of the trail riders out there might not even know about the show because they're not show people.
Well, we have been advertising on Facebook on several different pages that are related to Apostle Fino's. And of course, we've sent out information to all of our members to the Southwest Apostle Fino Horse Association. But yes, if anybody is interested in coming for that, give me a call or write me an email or something. Look for me on Facebook, Teresa Musgrave, and we're trying to find out what events people would like to have, and then open that up for some events from 10 to 12 or 10 to 1 on Saturday.
All right.
And we're looking at things like polls and things.
Is there some way of putting all of that contact information on some kind of Horses in the Morning website too?
Oh, Jen will put it in the show notes.
Awesome.
It'll be on the website.
And then Fantastic. Also, Teresa, anybody that wants to have a wonderful weekend ride or something with Rock Ranch in the spring, will it be open?
Yes, it will.
Awesome.
Yes. Come visit us.
It's an awesome place to visit. You get all kinds of terrain changes. There's anything from hills to valleys to water to sand to rock. You name it, it's there.
And there's a nice river fabulous. Right now that has water in it that we can play
in. I'm sure it does.
All right, Teresa, thank you so much.
Thanks, Teresa.
Oh, thank you for having me on. I enjoyed it.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
What do you think, Jen? Does that make you want to go get a Pasofino?
I learned a lot about Pasofinos that I never knew before. All the times we've had people on the shows, because Pasos are incredibly popular all over the world right now, I learned lots of things I didn't know before. Like the difference between the gait. I always thought it was just the one was faster and one was slower. There are significant, subtle but significant mm-hmm. differences in the gait. And
yep.
a little bit about how they move. It's hard for people who are ensconced into the gated or Paso world to explain what those horses are like
yeah.
to non-gated people. And she did a great job.
She's well, yeah. awesome.
Yeah. And I'm so lucky I get to ride Cayenne, because he's just, I don't know, I keep telling her I want to buy him, and she won't sell him
he's
to me.
He's not going anywhere. No, you're not going
no.
him. No.
He's so pretty. Oh my gosh. He's one of those horses that when you walk by, you do a double take and look at him and like, what is he?
He should be a briar. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, he should be a briar
yes.
horse. Absolutely.
Yeah, he should be a briar horse.
So we'll have to, I wonder how Definitely. You put petition to get your horse turned into a briar horse.
Find out.
Think about that.
Callie should be a briar horse too.
Absolutely. So I have
Who's
a real
next?
Quick,
Who's next?
I have uh-huh. a real quick ad for one of our companies. Waves Gear has renewed their sponsorship with NATRC.
Yay,
they make these really cool towels. They were one of our very, very first sponsors for Horses in the Morning. And the company makes these really awesome towels that are, they're microfiber. And so when you're camping or when you're doing stuff with your horses, you know, sometimes when you're outside, stuff doesn't dry very quickly. And these towels, you can use them, and it's almost like using a squeegee or a chamois or something on your horse or on you. And then you can hang them up and they're dry again almost immediately. So I remember somebody I know that I gave one to. They got used to it, but at first they said it was weird because, like, you know, you're used to this big fluffy terry cloth towel, and this is kind of like you just like run this over your skin and your skin is dry. So, and he always runs specials, and there's a discount code on the NATRC website under member services. I can't remember what it is. I apologize, but they. You can run over to the NATRC website and check out all of our sponsors and all of our member services area, and see what companies are in partnership with us to give specials and deals. But he also makes like floating sunglasses, and there's the towels, and there's some other new products on the website this year. But they're fantastic products. I really, really like them.
Yay.
There you go. Everybody, go buy towels.
Go buy a towel.
Who doesn't
go get clean.
Towel, right?
Go get clean.
Exactly. So our
go
next guest is today is Sarah Rennie. She is one of the NATRC board members, and she is going to talk to us a little bit about the free membership drive that we are having in NATRC this year. Sarah, are you there?
I am. Good morning. Hey, Sarah. How are you? Hey, I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
So Annette's with me today, Sarah, because Glenn is off playing at Road to the Horse in Kentucky. So
I guess we'll be forgiving.
Yeah, he's off having
fun. Sounds like a good time.
I know, doesn't it?
It does.
So tell us a little bit about the free memberships and what's going on with that.
Well, the North American Trail Ride Conference has started a new endeavor this year for the year of 2016. We're not sure where we'll go in the future, but for this year, we are doing a membership drive and trying to encourage the new folks to get involved with our sport by offering a free membership. Sometimes it's hard for people to get off the fence. They think about it for a while, and sometimes the cost is a factor when they're first getting started. So the one incentive we can provide is a free membership for brand new members who have considered it in the past and just thought, maybe I'm not ready. And hopefully this is that push that they need to get them on board. And so we're really hoping to get some new faces. And one thing we encourage new members to do is to reach out. We have so many people in the sport that are willing to mentor and help new riders get started. And we really want to encourage the use of that first time membership and get people on the trails with us.
Well, that's fantastic. What do you get with your free membership? How does that work? And, you know, tell us a little bit about how people can sign up.
Well, you can go to our national website, and our membership form is available online, and you can fill that out. It's at no cost. However, if you would like a printed hoofprint membership subscription, which is our publication, that is an extra charge that you can add on, but it won't cost you anything for your membership. You'll just pay for that subscription. We also have some additional membership perks, such as platinum memberships, which offers limited insurance for horse riders, both on their property and when they're traveling. So that's a really nice benefit. But that can be added on to that membership. But we have a lot of different information available to our members. And in addition to that membership, you get reduced ride fees. Being a member provides you with that perk. So it's cheaper ride fees, as well as eligibility for year-end awards, both regionally and nationally, if you're competing. Mm-hmm. Riders only have to do 3 competitive rides in 1 year to qualify for year-end awards, so it's pretty nice. And there's a lot of benefits with that membership.
Well, and we also have a lot of member perks as well, like discount codes and things like that for our members.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Membership. Right.
Different companies.
Yeah, we have a lot of really, really awesome sponsors. And I know I heard Alice just talking about one, and that's been the big thing. A lot of folks are buying those towels, and they've been very popular, especially for our distance riders. So but we do have a lot of awesome sponsors, and we also have some that do provide discount services for our members, and those are all available on our website. And what is that website? It's www.naprc.org. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on and talking about that with us. I appreciate it. And hopefully we'll get
Absolutely.
A lot more people signed up. And as people sign up, their names will go to the regions where we will
yes.
contact them and talk to them a little bit about coming to ride with us for fun or getting them out to the rides as well. I know you guys have some
right.
things in Region 6 also. So
Absolutely. There's clinics. There's just available mentorships. We're doing a lot of different stuff to encourage new folks. And we have had a lot of new memberships coming in so far. So we've had a really good response, and we'd love to get even more.
That's awesome. How many new members have y'all had in Region 6? I love Region 6, you know, as you know.
Me too.
I couldn't even tell you. We've had quite a few more. We've been growing, and it's
cool.
been awesome. But we've had great responses off of horse expos that we've participated in. So we've got a mm-hmm. lot of new members off of that, and even people that are just coming to check it out. And that's
yeah.
typically where it starts. Even if somebody doesn't want to compete just yet, volunteering is awesome. It's a great way to learn the sport. So there's a lot of ways you can be involved as a member and not necessarily compete.
Yeah. Right. And one of the things, too, that we're starting to institute that I know you're involved with is the member loyalty program. Can you tell us a little bit about how
mm-hmm.
that's going to work?
Sure. Well, what we're doing is we are rewarding folks for longevity in the organization. So starting at this point at a five-year increment and going in five-year increments after that, we'll have a variety of different rewards for members who stick with our organization. So that's been really exciting. It's been a lot of work. We have a lot of loyal members who have been around for a very long time, and we're hoping to reward them. So that is in the works for this year.
Fine.
Hopefully be able to roll out this fall. That's my goal.
Well, very good. Thank you so much. And I look forward to seeing you out on the trail, though not in Texas or Louisiana, not this weekend. Because
no,
it's raining.
I'm sorry to hear about the Louisiana ride.
I know.
We can't control Mother Nature.
No
matter how much we try.
I know it. Well, it was nice visiting with you ladies.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks for coming.
Have a great day.
No problem. You have a good day, too. Thank you.
All right.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Again, so, I learned a whole bunch.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because this year with the National Board, they are doing a really getting kind of gung-ho about new members and promoting the membership. And like in Region 4, where we are, we have what we designated as our new rider task force. And anytime there's a new rider, we have a whole little system in place to make sure that we contact those riders and we, you know, try to offer them, you know, services like, okay, are you going to need any help when you get to camp? You know, how are you coming? Yeah. And so that there'll actually even be a person there to greet them, to help get them ready for check-in, you know, to kind of take some of that fear of that first ride away from them, and also to kind of mentor with them. So, you know,
at my first ride, somebody won a bet that I was me because I had the deer in the headlights look. Yeah.
And that's what we want to try to alleviate, because I remember if I had not been, in fact, my first ride was in Region 6. And if I had not had Sandy Reese there and a whole little group of us that were all new together, that dared each other to go, we were all five deer in the headlight type things. And Sandy helped walk us through every part of that. And so that's what we want to start doing for other people, to make sure that, you know, we get new members and we retain those members, because this is such a fun sport.
That, it is. You know, we want everyone to join us because we have so much fun. We want other people
fun.
To come have fun too.
It was so much fun.
So
what's next?
All right. I think we're going to have our song of the day, which is called, what is our song of the day, Jen?
Viva la Cowboy. I love me some Dan Roberts on a Thursday.
All right.
All right, all you cowboys and cowgirls, I really need your help singing the chorus on this one. It's called Viva la Cowboy. I hear a lot of talk about him dying. They're calling him a vanishing breed. They sing them sad songs about how he's come and gone, as if he's faded into history. Well, I can tell you something for certain. Yeah, one thing that I know for a fact, they ain't exactly dropping the curtain on a way of life that's way intact. So viva the cowboy, long live his kind. Here's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches, hey, they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy, he's still got a home on the range. Thank you.
westerns, and pickup trucks are still hauling hay. They keep on raising the bar in the PBR, and there's thousands in the PRCA. You won't find them on the endangered species. They ain't protected anywhere that I know. And they're still making them as tough and as bronky as it did when the buffalo roamed. Hey, viva la cowboy, long live his kind. It's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches and they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy, he's still got a home on the range.
God, help me out here now.
Viva the cowboy, long live his kind. Here's to the ranchers and the wranglers and the rodeo hands and all the generations standing in line. They can roll with the punches. Hey, they can weather the change. So viva the cowboy, he's still got a home on the range. Yeah, viva the cowboy, he'll always have a home on the range.
That was a great song.
Viva la cowboy.
That'll get you toe tapping, won't it?
Yeah.
I was. See,
that was
okay,
a good song.
Now y'all need to have the where, you know, for this live performance, you can go to iTunes to purchase.
Well, actually you can. You can find all of Dan Roberts' music at Dan Roberts' Old Boots Music, or you can go to iTunes and type in Dan Roberts.
There you go.
Good for you. You're hired. You are hired, girlfriend.
Man, this woman could sell a Brooklyn Bridge to somebody in Arizona. She's got the touch. So, all right, I got my list loaded. Now we have, one of the things that Bree and I are going to talk about in a little while is helmets. And 2 weekends ago at a competition, I actually fell off my horse. He spooked at Lord only knows what. And I came off at a full gallop, landed back on my back and knocked my glasses off my head and pretty much just got up and hopped on and went back, you know, after just taking a minute. But, you know, if I hadn't had that helmet on, who knows how long I would have been there or if I'd have been knocked out or any of that. So, you know, I have always felt like helmets were very important, but you know, that it just seems to be mostly, you know, it's very conscious in my forefront. I'm in the forefront of my consciousness right now. And some reasons that people give sometimes for not wearing helmets is that they wear their bike helmet, so they don't need to wear a riding helmet. And this isn't true because bike helmets are made for bike riders and helmets for horseback riders are designed to withstand falls from higher heights and faster speeds. And also if your horse were to kick you in the head, because the horse, you know,
science, they do research.
That's right. It's for science. So, and then number two, number two excuse is that helmets are ugly. And I think that's completely bogus these days because If you Googled, you know, horseback riding helmets, mm-hmm. there are all kinds of helmets now.
Pink one.
And my beautiful blue one that I'm now going to have to replace. And there's greens and there's, I mean, you know, it used to be my very first helmet was black velvet with no venting. It looked like all you needed was a spike and I could have been a German World War I soldier.
I want a skull on mine. I want skulls on mine.
We'll have to make you a nice cover. I'm sure Cricket could do that for you. Yeah.
Exactly.
So then number three, some people think that they'll be penalized in the show ring. And while that's true for some disciplines, most of the time now, other sports are starting to be more lenient about that. Like, I know in a dressage test, you're never penalized for wearing a helmet. And I actually know some barrel racers who wear a helmet because if you wear a cowboy hat to run barrels and your hat falls off, you have to put money in the pot or something, or they have to put money in the pot. She said they started wearing helmets because when their hat came back with a string, it would catch them in the throat and it would bug them. So if they wore a helmet, they didn't have to wear a hat.
And they have those, and haven't you seen those helmets now that look like a cowboy hat? And you cannot, honestly, you cannot tell the difference. They're not like these great big sombrero looking things.
Yeah, Resist All.
They're very expensive.
Yeah.
Yep, Resist All.
They're really, yeah, they look really nice.
They're really pretty.
So, and I mean, I probably wouldn't wear one myself, but I mean, the Western one, because I like my little English one, but they said that, like, you know, they say Western riders don't wear helmets, and it's like, well, cowboys, when, you know, in the past, dressed for protection, they didn't dress for fashion. You know, if they had had a helmet in the 1800s, they probably would have worn one because it would have saved their heads. But, you know, there weren't helmets, so that was kind of a moot point. Now there are Western helmets, as you were just saying.
Right.
Number five is that people say that helmets are uncomfortable, and I mean, I wear a Tipperary, and Troxel's also a popular brand, but if you find a helmet that fits you and is comfortable, you almost forget it's there. Like, I'll be walking around after I get off my horse and totally forget that I've even wearing my helmet.
We always thought it was just because you needed it, because you would bump into stuff or something.
Yeah,
we didn't want to make you feel bad, Alice, so we were like, oh, it's just Alice. You just, you know, that's just Alice.
I have to wear my helmet. So number six is because helmets are hot. And it says they're not actually. Again, a lot of times on a hot day when I'm wearing my helmet, I'll forget that I have it on. And it'll be the sun beating down on my head will remind me to go put it on because I'm actually hotter than without it. And I would rather, even if I were hot in my helmet, I would rather be hot and sweaty than have brain damage.
So you just say, but look, I'm hot. I look hot.
That's right. I look hot in my – it's hot and I'm hot. There you go. And then number seven is the helmets give me a headache. And it says if your helmet is a proper fit, it won't give you a headache. And it will actually – yeah. I know. It's like, well, because like if I wear a Troxel helmet for me, my head is more oval than round. And so the Tipperary helmet fits me better. If my helmet doesn't fit right or if it's too small, it'll – you know, and you'll have a serious headache if you hit the ground. And I mean, I had a headache for several days after falling off and I was wearing my helmet. So,
right.
There you go. Oh, here's a good one. I'll get helmet hair. Okay.
I love helmet hair. Y'all make fun of me all the time.
You like being made fun of?
It gives y'all something to do. Because I'll take my helmet off and I'll look like Don King or something. Because my hair will be all standing straight up on one side. It's like, yeah. Yep. I'll wear my helmet. I'm looking good. I'm hot.
So it says number nine is I'm an experienced rider. It said they conducted a study in Canada that found that injured riders had an average of 27 years of experience. Newer riders were safer because they were more cautious. So
I would believe that.
I would too.
Absolutely.
And number 10 is it's my head and I'll do what I want with it. It's like, yes, you're right. It is your head. But when you don't wear a helmet, you're sending a message to everyone that your safety isn't important. And I think too, like with kids, like I know kids that are like, oh, I can hardly wait till I'm 18 and I won't have to wear a helmet. And I think if more adults wore helmets willingly, then the kids wouldn't feel like they got to not wear a helmet when they turned 18.
Well, if you'll remember, you know, I don't know if you can remember because y'all are so young, but the whole seatbelt thing when it used to not be an issue, you know, you didn't have to wear a seatbelt, and then, you know, it became, you know, click it or ticket type thing, and people are like, well, I'm, you know, when I get to be 18, I'm not going to wear the seatbelt, and now it's just an everyday thing. So hopefully the whole helmet thing will do that.
Exactly. And in fact, I know there was a rider 2 weeks ago at a ride that has never been a helmet wearer. And I noticed, I was like, I didn't have my glasses on. And I was like, you pick out people from their horses and they're, you know, I can see pretty well, but I was like, well, that looks like so-and-so's horse, but that person's wearing a helmet. And it was later in the day. I was like, oh, you're wearing a helmet. And she says, yes, I have started wearing one. And I was just like, whoa, that was good. It made me happy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yep, absolutely. So what's the last one?
The last one is helmets are expensive and I can't afford one. And the hint here is set down your $5 latte and think about that for a minute. You know, the cost of a helmet can be as low as $30 or $40. And, you know, then there are higher end helmets that are $300 or $400. Right. But most helmets fall in the $30 to $60 range. And that's really not very many lattes.
Not when you're talking about hospital visits and concussions and that kind of stuff. So
$40 helmet, $400,000 hospital bill.
Exactly. So Jen, it's a matter of education and just doing it and letting people make fun of you, you know. Well, it's just like not too long ago, a group of us went to a benefit sorting and we were the only ones there with helmets on. You know, we were in sorting cows in our helmets and all of this other stuff and it was okay. And you know, it's just going to be an attitude change of people, you know, just becoming more acceptable. And hopefully that trend will continue. So,
very good.
I hope.
Well, our next guest is Bree Rosario. We recorded this interview earlier in the week. And she is from Riding Warehouse, who is our title sponsor today. And she's going to talk about spring apparel and helmets. And I'm super excited to go shopping. Because she's got a good discount code for us at the end of the interview as well.
Pay attention.
That's right.
I was going to say, take notes.
Good morning, Bree. Welcome to the show.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Well, I bet there's some exciting things going on at Riding Warehouse right now, with it being spring and the flowers coming up and the weather getting nice, and I bet people are starting to shop for clothes for the spring and summer.
Yeah, definitely. Well, spring's probably my favorite time around here because we get the most amount of new clothing and the new fly gear for your horses, and basically it kicks off ride season for us, really. So out here in California, obviously, we're lucky enough we can pretty much ride all year round, but a lot of the rest
Here in Texas, too.
Covered in snow. Yeah, so we don't quite know firsthand, but the rest of our customers throughout the rest of the United States, they consider kind of March and April to be like that really big kickoff to riding season time. So we get a lot of new products in to prepare for that. And so it's really exciting to see all the new stuff come in.
I bet. So tell us a little bit about what trail riders can look for this spring as far as apparel goes. Like what new things, what new goodies are there that we can go out and buy?
Yeah, well, we have our tried and true that all of our trail riders really love. We've got the Carrots, which is our best-selling line as a whole. Carrots has always been a really good line for us. They always are kind of seem to be at the forefront of technology. So they have cooling fabrics and things like that. So depending on your climate, they've got something to suit everybody. So they've got new patterns every year, as people know. So definitely looking at Carrots coming this spring will be really exciting. We've actually had the new Carrots stuff for quite a while. They actually come out in January with their stuff. Same with Iridian. Iridian's actually going to be on the site within the next couple of days, so that just came in. Again, we have lots of cooling tops. And so you're going to hear me talk about cooling a lot. We have a lot of apparel that does have to do with cooling. So along with that, we also have apparel that has to do with sun protection. And in the last few years, that's become really big for our trail riders, and then actually riders throughout all disciplines, Western and English alike. So we've noticed the trend towards long sleeves to protect your skin. And then the SPF fabrics. So we have quite a few brands that are coming out with these shirts every year. Ariat being one of them. Noble Outfitters has some great SPF fabrics. Arista, Fitz. We're also going to have some new Castell shirts. We have new ones every year. And Castell.
So hang on, tell me a little bit about SPF fabrics. Because, I mean, I'm curious what the difference between just a regular long sleeve shirt and one that has SPF is, actually.
Right. Well, people don't really know this, but you can actually get the UV rays can penetrate normal fabrics. So even it is always better to wear long sleeves, which is great, but it's even better to wear long sleeves that have sun protection within the fabric. So it's basically woven in. It's really great. It lasts a really long time. You can wash it just like normal. You do want to take some extra care. You don't want to, you know, put it on high heat or anything like that. But you can definitely treat it pretty much like a normal garment, but it gives you extra protection. So if you've ever been out with long sleeves and noticed that afterwards you still had a little bit of color, that's why, because it's penetrating that fabric. So the SPF fabrics go above and beyond. And with, you know, the culture we're in today with a lot of skin cancer issues going on, I think it's really great that people are transferring not only the long sleeves, but also those with SPF fabric. And a lot of our SPF fabric tops also come with cooling properties as well. So you can get tops that have cooling properties. SPF fabric will cover you up, and you're basically good to go, and you do not have to put sunscreen on underneath where the clothing is. Where the clothing is. Now, if you're not wearing gloves or something, you definitely want to keep your hands and your neck covered in sunscreen.
Right.
But as far as underneath the SPF fabrics, you don't have to put sunscreen on, which is really nice. So for our riders that are out there, especially this summer in the heat, I definitely would look at grabbing some of those shirts up. They're really, really fashionable. They've got great prints, great colors. And you wouldn't tell any difference. You know, they look just like a really cute long sleeve, but they have that special quality that I think we should all be looking at as we go into the summer months.
Well, I think it's hard, especially, like, I mean, I know that I've worn long sleeve shirts to ride in, and I do know that it seems cooler, but at the same time, when it's 80 degrees or 90 degrees and humid in the morning, it's hard to think about putting on a long sleeve shirt, even if ultimately you're better off. So it's,
right.
It's good to be reminded that that's a good option for us. And
yeah,
so I guess there's a lot of different. I was curious, like what colors there are this year. Are there any really trendy, cute colors? You know, because we got to look good while we ride.
Oh, of course. Well, it's going to depend on your line that you choose. So, like I mentioned, there's several lines that have the sun shirts. In about a month, we have actually a brand new brand coming. So, if your listeners want to check back, kind of mid to end of April, we have a new line coming out called Sun Soleil, and they've focused on the golf and tennis industries. And now they're going into the equestrian industry because they know the need for sun protection. The cool thing about Sun Soleil is they focus on patterns. And we hear that they're developing now more equestrian patterns. So this fall and next year, they should have even more. So maybe keep an eye out for that brand in the future. And we're going to get some cool patterns. And then as far as colors go, everybody kind of does their own thing. Ariat this year has gone with like a teal. And I want like a light rose pink is their spring colors. Very springy. Noble always has some fun light spring colors, and they actually have a few more color options. So the colors really depend on the brand, but I would say in the spring you're looking at kind of light, colorful, typical colors you would see in the spring. Not a lot of dark. Dark tends to be more in the fall shipments. You'll see more of the darker colors as we get a little bit colder. So in the spring you're definitely looking at light, colorful colors. And, you know, honestly, you can't really go wrong with anything that these guys do because their fit is really nice. What I love is that they have all the moisture-wicking properties. So even though it's tempting to say, oh, I don't want to put on a long sleeve because I'll feel hotter, actually you'll end up feeling cooler. So
Right. You'll
look good, you'll feel good, and most importantly, your skin's going to be protected. So you don't have to sacrifice fashion for, you know, function in this case, which I really love. And we're finding our sun shirts, if they have sun protection versus a shirt that doesn't, the one with sun protection flies off the shelf. So there's definitely something to that, and I've been really happy to see that over the last couple of years that's really become a huge trend, and I hope it sticks.
Cool. Well, I'm guessing, too, that there's probably some new spring tights and things also. I think you mentioned carrots, and I know my daughter and I have lots of different carrots, and they have lots of different styles. And I can't think what the one is called, but they have that one that has like the zipper in the back pocket, like a back pocket zipper on your back, and then they've got the long pockets on the sides. Do you know what style that is, or is that a?
You know, I would have to take a look at all of them. We have so many carrots tight styles that I would have to look for something like that. The one I want to maybe mention that your trail riders especially might be interested in is that carrots has ice fill tights now. So they're cooling tights. And if you haven't tried them, you really need to try them because we're not only talking about keeping your top cool, but also keeping your lower extremities cool as well.
Friend of mine has a pair
of
those.
Something. Yeah, they're fantastic.
Yeah? Oh, I got to try. What? Do they come in like your standard colors? Or are they also kind of like fun for spring? Or?
Yes, they have both. Actually, we've got spring colors. So we've got two different kind of areas. We've got the spring, and then we have some all year round. So the spring colors this year, we have a really pretty river blue, they're calling it, a huckleberry purple, and then your traditional tan for those who may be going to a show here or there and want the tan color or just like the lighter color. Then we have some year-round colors, so the black and also the gray for those who just want to stay conservative. And they also have the anti-slip material all the way up. So really great, again, for trail riders because your horse is spooking at something, you're going to be extra sticky in the saddle, which is great.
Yeah, that, I could have used those last week.
Yep. I think we all could use them at some time. And then some trail riders like the boot cut style because they like to put them over their boots. And we've got some boot cut styles now in the ice fill, which is fairly new for carrots as well, both in spring colors and in the traditional black and gray as well. So we've got lots of options.
Say that again, ice. Ice what?
Ice fill. Ice fill. I can spell it for you. It's I-C-E-S-I-L.
Okay, ice fill. All right. I just wasn't sure I was understanding. Cool.
Yeah.
Those sound awesome.
Yeah, if you feel them, they actually feel cooler just in the packaging when you first get them. So it's a really cool technology, and I'm just really excited that everybody's just getting so innovative with riding apparel. It's really cool to see them really treat equestrians finally as athletes, and we're really getting to see that in all the materials they're using. So, it's not the cotton tights anymore, so it's pretty cool.
That's good. Yeah, I know that, not because of the apparel, but I know people that don't really think that riders are athletes, and sometimes I think if they see the once they see the fashion come out, then they're like, oh, look, they are athletes. Or like when the NCAA started having equestrian events at colleges, and my father was like, oh, look, those are athletes. sometimes fashion molds opinions.
Oh, totally. Yeah. It's not just your horse doing the work too.
That's right. But speaking of like colors and fashion and whatever, and a little bit off the topic of trail riding, but one of my friends just bought a bridle for her dressage horse, and it was black and teal or black and turquoise or something. And I was like, finally, you ride dressage. You don't have to just have leather, black leather anymore.
No, we're seeing lots of pops of color, especially lately. It's, the trail riders, the endurance riders especially, they've been fans of color for a long time. But we're seeing lots of pops of color pop up in the English world, which is really cool. It's not brown and black anymore. So we're seeing a lot of fun. We're seeing a lot of bling. That's been going on for a little while. We're seeing different, if you do show in English, we're seeing a lot of different colored show coats with cute trims. And it's just becoming, I feel, a little bit more fun and definitely more fun to shop. So, yeah.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I wanted to ask you about today was helmets and what type of helmets you carry, and talk a little bit about when it's time to get a new helmet. I fell off my horse a little over a week ago. We were cantering along at a good clip, so I said I could have used that grippy fabric on my type. Cantering along at a good clip, and I think he spooked at a fence post. I'm not really sure, but he spooked, and I came off over the back end and hit the ground pretty hard. Hard enough to knock my glasses off my face, and but I still had the reins in my hand because, by golly, he's not going to leave me out there on the trail. Friends are like, you should have let go. It's like, oh no, he hits the end of the bridle and he stops. It's like, not like he drugged me or anything. He just had a moment. But so I hit my head and I got up and I went ahead and finished riding and I rode the next day. I've had a headache most of the week, and I'm thinking now, maybe I did have a little concussion. Maybe it's time for a new helmet. But I know there's different conditions under which new helmets are a good idea. And I was hoping maybe you could address those a little bit.
Yes. Well, depending on the type of helmet you have, the first suggestion I always have is contact the manufacturer of your helmet. Each individual manufacturer has their own stipulations. They have their own recommendations, so I don't want to be the one to necessarily recommend. I can give you what most will say, but as far as your individual helmet, contact the manufacturer. They get these calls all the time. That's why they're there, to explain what happened, ask them if you need a replacement, and most of the time, most helmet manufacturers also have a replacement program of some kind because they want you in a safe helmet. So, but in general, If you hit your head during a fall, most manufacturers will recommend that you replace the helmet. Whether it looks like it's really damaged or not, you can't tell. It's actually the inner workings of the helmet that could be damaged, and they can look flawless on the outside. But if you know you hit your head, you're going to have to get a new helmet, sorry to say.
So, I've only had it just a little over a year. I just bought it like a year ago in February, and it matches all my colors. And I'm sure,
if you contact your manufacturer, they may have, like I mentioned, a replacement program that might help offset some of the cost, especially since you just received it. Now, I don't know that for sure because I don't know what manufacturer you have, but you definitely want to contact them and see if there's something they can do. A lot of times they will work with you and give you like a discount on a new helmet, especially if you've purchased it, say, a year ago. Definitely contact your manufacturer, but if you hit your head, you need to get a new helmet. That's just the way that it is because the damage that may have occurred, you may not be able to see.
The other thing is,
after, even if you don't hit your head, you need to be replacing your helmet manufacturers are different depending on who you talk to, but in general, I've seen every 3 to 5 years. So again, refer to the individual company, but that's a good general rule. Even if it's sitting there and you're using it infrequently, you still need to be replacing it every 3 to 5 years, just because sitting in a tack room, all that kind of stuff, it can start to change the composition of the helmet slightly, and that's where it may not be safe. So my friend Nancy
should replace her 15-year-old Lexington that she's been wearing since I met her. I'm gonna send this to her.
Highly recommended. I don't see the point of wearing one if it's not going to be safe. You know, you don't want to have false security. And if I'm putting this on, I'm safe. You definitely want to make sure that whatever you're putting on is going to protect you in the event of a fall. Unfortunately, we've had a couple of tragic accidents in the equestrian industry recently showing the importance of helmets, so we definitely need to be replacing them. Again, every 3 to 5 years under normal use, and if you hit your head during a fall, even a minor fall where you're like, oh, I'm fine, I just got up. But if your head made contact, definitely need to get it replaced.
And if I might interject additionally, what's considered normal use can change from person to person. If you're one of those people that tends to take your hat off and drop it on the floor, guess what? It's going to wear out a lot faster because those are still considered blows to the helmet. If your hat spends any of its time living inside of a hot car, it's going to shorten the lifespan of the helmet.
Right.
So my mantra has always been, when in doubt, replace the helmet, not your head. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
Replacing your head would be complicated.
Yes. They haven't quite got that technology nailed down yet.
Transplant technology is a little behind.
That's right. So,
I definitely recommend also maybe getting, when you're talking about throwing it on the ground, don't do that, but maybe getting some sort of a storage bag for your helmet and keeping it in a climate-controlled environment at all times. So maybe bring it home. You know, put it in your house where you have air conditioning, and keep it in a bag. So just to prolong your investment.
Right. The problem with that is sometimes then you get somewhere. Like when I do have one I keep in the house, I tend to have the old helmet that stays in the trailer so that no matter what, there's something hanging around. Because sometimes you get somewhere and you're like, oh, crud, I left the house and I don't have a helmet. And, you know, so it's like you always want to make sure you have a helmet, and if taking it in the house makes you forget it, then that's not very useful either.
No, if you don't have it with you, it's not going to do you any good anyway.
Good. So what brands, I mean, like this helmet that I'm going to have to replace is a Tipperary, and it was that beautiful blue color that they came out with last year, so I'm sure I can get another one. But what other brands do you guys carry? And I know that, like, the shapes are different. Like, the Tipperary is the only one that really feels comfortable on my head. There's one or two others I've tried, but, like, Troxels are really popular, but when I put one on, it gives me a headache because they're shaped different. I mean, can you speak to the shape of the helmet?
Troxels tend to be suited a little bit better in general, people with more round heads. And so if you're feeling like you're uncomfortable and the Tipperary works for you, you probably have more of an oval-shaped head, so that's why it's working, where the Troxel maybe pinches you in the front and the back. So what's really great is for people to try them on. Trying on the helmet is really important. What works for a riding warehouse is we have a free return policy for our customers within the contiguous U.S. So you can order one, try it on, see how it works. If it doesn't work, you can return it for free and get an exchanged one for free. So that's kind of a way we try to help alleviate that financial burden of, you know, trying one, buying one, and then it not working. So definitely want to try it on. We have Ovation riding helmets. Those are really popular amongst our trail riders. Troxel's extremely popular. They just came out with a line by Fallon Taylor, the world champion barrel racer, just designed these really fun helmets. And I think she designed them with the barrel racer in mind, but I think our trail riders are going to go crazy over them because they're so fun and colorful. So those are fun. We've got IRH riding helmets. They're redesigned this year with new air vent placement. So same old IRH that you've always known and loved with some improvements, which is great. And we love air vents, especially on the trail, right? And
right.
We also carry higher-end ones, especially if you're going to go from the show ring to the, you know, out on the trail. We carry 1K, Charles Owen, and Sam Shield as well. But our trail riders tend to really like Tipperary, Ovation, Troxel, and IRH. And we've got some new Ovation helmets this year. So that'll kind of suit anybody looking for a brand new style that hasn't been out for very long. We've got something for everybody. But again, trying them on, utilize our free return shipping policy, and kind of get exactly what fits your head. But there's no, I mean, we can write about it and you can read about it and try to predict, but trying it on is the best option.
I was curious about the Ovations and how they fit compared to Tipperary. Are they similar? Are they more round or oval?
I would say they're similar, especially the Prodigies. The Prodigies fit very similar to, I'm assuming you're talking about the Sportage helmet from Tipperary. Yeah, so the Ovation Prodigy helmets, I think they actually pronounce it Protege, but I think those are very similar to the Tipperary as far as the fit. So if you work really well in the Tipperary, you're going to like the Ovation as well. We've got some fun new colors there. So, yeah, we've got something for every head shape, but the important thing is don't settle. Make sure that you get something that fits. We have a helmet sizing video on our YouTube channel if you guys want to check it out. It's just the Riding Warehouse YouTube channel, and you can kind of see exactly what a perfect fit should look like and have somebody help you with it.
Awesome. Well, Bree, thank you so much for all your help. And is there still a code for NATRC riders, a discount code?
Yeah, there is. And we also have a code for all your listeners that will last until May 31st. So this is a code that I'm just creating for this individual broadcast. And it's going to be HRN30. Again, HRN30. And what that's going to do is that's going to take $10 off any order of $30 or more. So if your listeners want to use that code, that'll be good through May 31st. And again, we also have a coupon code for the day track riders as well. That runs
awesome. Over. All right. Thank you so much.
Fabulous. Woohoo!
Thank you so much for coming on the show today, and I look forward to looking at the website. I can hardly wait to get off the phone and go see, because I definitely need some of the sunscreen fabrics. I am a pale, my daughter too. We're both pale blonde people, and with no no visible signs of our own sun protection, so we need all of the sun stuff we can get. So
awesome! Get a helmet
too. Oh, yes, I'm going to get well, that's the top of the list, yeah. I've got to buy a new helmet.
There you go.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. You're welcome.
Thanks, Bree.
Have a great day.
Having me.
Bye-bye.
Have a good day. Bye.
Well, that was fun.
I learned a whole bunch.
I did too. I was just going to say, while I was listening to her interview, I was going through all the stuff we were talking about and looking at what I wanted to buy. And I was like, going, I want one of those and I want one of those. And the sunscreen shirts, it's like if you buy two, then they're already like $5 off or $6 off. Yeah, it's like they're $54.95 or $54.99 if you buy one, but they're $45.99 if you buy two or more.
I'm really loving the sunscreen SPF shirts. I've gotten a couple of them now. And I'm kind of hooked. I'm so totally over gooey, gloppy, slimy. I'm tired of
that. Well, and I have a friend who's allergic to sunscreen. And so she's just never, she used to be able to use the old sunscreen, you know, then they like took something out and put something else in, and she's never been able to wear it. So this would be a good option for her.
No kidding.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know that Amy and I wear the Ovation helmets. I love my Ovations.
Well, that's what I was looking at, the Ovations. I think I'm going to order, because they have some different colors than the Tipperaries.
Yep.
And
I
was thinking about one of those metallic ones. I think that's what I'm going to order.
Yep.
She's going to glint in the sun.
That's right. Well, and
blindness,
I was
and like all of us fall off because she's gonna like the sun's gonna like hit off of her and blind us, and we'll fall off, and then we'll have to get new helmets, and then we'll get the ones that glimmer, and then we'll make her fall off, and we'll all be laying on the trail.
Remind me what that discount code was again. I wasn't paying attention.
The discount code was HRN30.
All right, HRN30.
And it gives people who spend $30 or more $10 off of their order.
That's one third off, folks.
That's awesome.
That's pretty
cool. You know, you can order like five different things and only spend
$30. Yeah. Sure. I need trailer ties. I'm going shopping.
Yeah, I need stuff too. And Teresa just showed me, she has some of the new tights that have the grippy stuff. It's like, yeah, I could definitely use those 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Grippy can be good.
Yes.
Grippy. You know, the grippy kind.
Hey, I want to put an item in the suggestion box for the next month's NATRC episode.
Okay.
Or if you've already got next month's planned, maybe one after that. There are not a lot of NATRC rides here in Florida. I think there's like two a year.
Yes, there's one at Christmas, and then they had one in January also, yeah. I think.
Not a lot going on there. And right. I would love to see more of it. And a good way to get more interest in an area is to do clinics. So if we could have somebody on to talk about how you organize, because I know that NATRC has a lot of help for people who want to organize clinics, and how that happens and all the resources are available and success stories of other people who have done clinics and had a good turnout. That would be so fascinating.
Okay. Well, I can do that probably in April or in May.
Yeah, I know there's no suggestion box on the wall, but I'm going to do a Sheldon Cooper and I'm going to hang one up.
Okay.
Fabulous.
Now, are you going to make us have to do a contract, too?
Yes, obviously you're a Big Bang Theory fan. Yes, we will have a contract.
I am woefully behind in my Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, only Big Bang Theory folks will get that joke, and thank you. I appreciate it, Annette.
No problem.
Well, tell us about what's coming up on the NATRC calendar before we run out of time here, gal.
The NATRC calendar, let's see. Lots of things. Not here, but we have a ride in Texas coming up in April. Annette was whispering. It's called Pole Canyon Ranch, and it's in the panhandle of Texas. And it has lots of different terrain, and it's well located to both New Mexico, Colorado, Kansas, and other parts further west than some of our other Texas rides. And it has a lovely bathhouse, and we'll have good food, and it's going to be just amazing. And let's see, all of the rides can be found on the NATRC.org website, as I am trying to pull up more rides so I can talk specifically about them. All right, here we go. It finally came up. In April, there is also a ride in Alabama called Spring in Dixie. It's in Troy, Alabama, and that is the same weekend as Pole Canyon Ranch. If you happen to be closer to Alabama than Texas, that would be you, Jen. Is in
Florida.
Alabama.
I'm trying to get people in Florida.
I know. And then the same weekend in April, April's very popular. There's a ride in California called the Spring Fling that is at the Los Penasquito Canyon Preserve. Oh, it's near San Diego. There you go. And there's
not
close to you, no. There's a ride called Caballo Canyon in New Mexico on the weekend of April 16th and 17th.
That sounds pretty.
And then in Kansas, there's April 23rd and 24th, there's a ride called Exploring Sand Hills. And that ride was extremely popular last year. In spite of so many horse organizations having kind of a downturn, Liz Clam, who is the ride manager, had a huge turnout. And she had a little clinic, and she had offered a one-day ride on both Saturday and Sunday, and they had like 60 riders show up for that ride.
Awesome. And they'll
be doing that again this year. And then one more is in Oklahoma the very next weekend, April 30th and May 1st. We have the Oklahoma Run for the Mustangs at Lake Carl Blackwell in Stillwater. And that's another good ride for people in the Midwest or a little bit further south because it's very centralized. Lots of people from all different regions come to that ride.
Cool.
Sorry, no more Florida. Florida's over for the year.
I know. We're, well, we'll work on it. We'll encourage more Floridians. Yes.
Absolutely. I will bring that up, and I will see if I can find somebody to come talk about that.
Encourage people to try it.
Absolutely. Yes. You have to go.
The alligator ride.
If I can talk somebody into doing a clinic in Florida, you're going to have to go.
There we go. I saw one. I think there was one. They had one a little while back. Might have been last year or maybe even the year before that I didn't go to it, though, because there was no riding. It's like, well, I don't want to go to a clinic unless I get to ride my horse.
Well, sure. Yeah. That makes sense. You know,
yeah, I'm a stickler for that. I want to ride.
Yeah, it looks like the next two opportunities for Florida is Christmas in the Pines, December 4th and 5th, and then also the New Year's resolution, which is January 28th and 29th of next year.
All the way around till Christmas again.
Wow.
Yeah. We'll see what we can do.
I wonder why that is.
Well,
interesting.
Yeah. Well, folks, everybody who travels tends to leave Florida in April, right around Easter, all of the folks who come south for the winter leave. So things tend to actually pick up here in the wintertime because that's when everybody comes down to
ride.
But it is actually surprisingly pleasant here in Ocala to ride in the summertime. Further south in Florida, not so much, but Ocala is sort of the line where the weather stays comfortable all summer long. So I'm encouraging everybody. Let's get this going.
So are there trails near Ocala? You and I need to work on this so
Ocala
we can find somebody to manage your ride and, you know, and your clinic and all that.
Ocala has more equestrian trails. We're talking hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of miles.
Really? So we need to find somebody to manage a ride near Ocala.
We've got the horse park for folks who like terrain that is, quote, developed. In other words, there are all kinds of facilities there. We've got the Gothie State Forest, which is a little bit more rustic. And then we've got half a dozen different trailheads along the Marjorie Harris Carr Greenway, which goes all the way from the east coast of Florida to the west coast of Florida. And there's a horse trail the whole way. So we've got a lot of choices.
That's amazing.
Here. We've got a lot of choices. And most of the trailheads have modern bathroom facilities. A number of them have camping facilities. We've got it all.
So we need people to put on rides there.
We do.
We'll have to work on that. Oh, real quick, before I forget, there's a brand new ride near it's near Silver City, New Mexico, and it's April 2nd and 3rd. And a great suggestion for those people who are retired or who are self-employed and can work from wherever would be to go to that ride April 2nd and 3rd in New Mexico and then zip over to Pole Canyon Ranch because they're not very far apart.
That's a real plus because you don't often have rides that are close proximity chronologically and geographically. That's a cool.
Yes.
There we go. Well, let's wrap things up, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Well, what are you going to do on tomorrow's show?
Tomorrow's show, we will be live from the Road to the Horse in Lexington, Kentucky. Glenn and Mary Kitzmiller will be hosting, so we'll be hour and a half live as usual. They're going to be chatting with folks who are there to visit, there to spectate. They'll have competitors. They'll have former competitors. They'll have trivia. It's going to be a high-energy kick butt kind of a show, and then we'll do the same thing again on Saturday morning.
Oh.
And Sunday. Saturday morning we're live, and then Sunday we're going to be live for the entire 4 hours of the finals.
Oh.
Wow.
That's awesome. So how can we listen to it live? Do we need to go to the website, or what do we have to do?
Go to horsesinthemorning.com, either on your computer, on your smart device. You can use your browser on your phone.
Okay.
The only place it will be playing live is via the website, horsesinthemorning.com. Just press the live button. As with all of our Horses in the Morning shows, it is being recorded. So if you can't catch it live, you can download it later and listen to the whole thing.
Very cool. Yeah.
So there you go.
Fun time.
Awesome. Thank you, Annette, for filling in for Glenn. We'll have to tell him.
Oh, my gosh.
We didn't need him at all.
I had so much fun. Thank you for letting me do this.
Well, you were fantastic, Annette. You can come back anytime.
Don't say that, because I will.
Well, everybody, if you're a new listener and you haven't heard this before, you can find links to today's guests at horsesinthemorning.com. Just look for the episode for March 17th, 2016. You can follow Horses in the Morning on Facebook. Just search Horses in the Morning. And we're also on Twitter at Horse Radio. You can also download our free app for your iPhone or Android and listen to all of your favorite shows. Just go to your app store and search Horse Radio Network. And thanks again to today's sponsors. Who are they, Alice?
They are Riding Warehouse and Waves Gear.
Waves Gear and, of course, the NATRC.
And the NATRC.
Yay!
All right.
That's awesome.
All right. We'll see y'all next month, eh?
Yes.
All right.
Absolutely.
Thanks a bunch. Y'all have a good week.
And no yawning. Andrew.